Hey, everybody. Welcome to Find the Funny. This is part two with Brian Kiley. I am so excited. We talked for an hour and a half, and I was like, I can't not share with my viewers the rest of this. So this is part two. Brian Kiley. Woo-woo.
Well, this is my mom, Nellie.
Yay, yay.
Say, welcome to the podcast.
Welcome to my daughter, what?
Podcast.
Podcast.
Podcast. I know, podcast. That's a weird name.
All right, so I want to know what your writing technique is.
You're talking about for my act?
For you. Well, even when you were on the show, because it can't be that different, right? Because you're coming up with new material.
Right. So, okay, so for Conan, I would go in and we would have to look at the news and then look at premise, say, okay, you know, because sometimes it'd be something really tragic and it's like, okay, he's not going to talk about that. And that is a big difference with TV and a club, where a club, you can say anything. And if something happens in Arkansas and you're 2,000 miles away in a club, you can go on and do a joke about it. Where on TV, people in Arkansas, I got to see it. Be like, hey, you know what I mean? So you have to just be very careful. And then find topics that he will joke about and collect those premises. And so as I'm collecting them, sometimes you see something and you think of a joke or two or whatever. Right. But generally speaking, you collect the premises and then you go through and you try to come up with jokes for those things. And so I would try to write about 15 for the first batch or whatever. And then we'd compile them and I'd read through them. And then we might have someone have a joke and we go, well, what if we did this version, you know, or like another, it triggers another joke in you.
It's nice because it's a team and it's a team of really talented people.
Well, also our names aren't on. So we would hand in the jokes together.
Oh, they're not on them.
They're not on them.
See, I was on a writing staff where your name was on everything.
Yes.
And I hated that.
I think that's a bad thing because
it's a bad thing.
Because sometimes someone has a joke and then, or they have something that's, and you fix it. And then they get the credit, you know what I mean? Or
exactly,
then
that's
people
exactly
finding over. No, that was mine, and that was whatever.
Right.
And there are plenty of jokes that Lori and I was a team effort.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So, or me and one of the other, or Lori and one of the other, whatever. Do you know what I mean? So, the fact that we weren't like, no, that's mine, or whatever.
Right.
It just makes it a much better system, I think.
Oh yeah, because it's not about competition. It's all about making the funniest bit.
And the irony is that when you work together long enough, you hear a joke and go,
That's so interesting.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, you could still.
Right.
Yes, you know what I mean? Because you did kind of have your own thumbprint, whether you liked it or not.
Right.
You know? So that was working off the news. And also, there were days when you get stumped, we would get together and throw the premises at each other and kind of do it.
Kind of riffing?
Riffing.
Oh, that's fun.
And so that was also, like, some people didn't like that. Some people only like that. I actually like doing both. I like to sit by myself, write some jokes, but then when I kind of get stuck, then riffing, and then sometimes you've stared at the same premise for 2 hours and can't come up with it.
Right.
And then when the other person says it, you come up with something and you're
yes. Exactly. You
know? And when I was first at Conan, he didn't like the jokes. I just started there and he brought it in and he's like, there's a premise where Arnold Schwarzenegger said, my penis looks small because my muscles are so big. And I said, you know, my excuse is I'm so tall. And so kind of like that. And it was one of these things where we had the premise for 2 hours. I couldn't, but when he said the premise to me.
And you riffed it.
Yeah, and I riffed it. And it's like, oh, okay. You know what I mean?
And I think a part of that is them actually hearing it performed.
Yes.
And then getting the initial laugh and going, it'll work.
Right.
But reading it off a piece of paper is totally different.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. And also that's the, you know, and it's also when you're riffing with him, then he's also seeing you come up with it in the spot. Do you know what I mean? So that, you know, and that was actually one of the most rewarding things was sometimes we come up with a joke at the last minute, right before it goes out and it kills the room and he goes and he does it and it does. And you felt like you've homered to win the game.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? Like that was exciting. Sometimes you're like, I don't know why all day I couldn't come up with that until I finally, with 2 seconds to go, I got it. Do you know what I mean? So that's the, you know.
So, when you do your act, How do you use like the bubble technique, which is when you write a subject, say you're talking about chocolate, you would put the word chocolate in the middle and then you just kind of bubble that idea. Karen Rontowski talks about this as well. This is what I do where you go from chocolate, you go, okay, where do you purchase it? You go to the store. How much does it cost? What brands does it have? Does anybody have allergies? Are there peanuts in it? Is it white chocolate? Is it dark chocolate? Is it this kind of and so you do all the things that you can think of off of chocolate if you're going to write a joke on chocolate. So to me, that's helpful to not write a joke that's so common.
I think that's great. I don't even know that method.
Yeah.
What I tend to do for my act is I try to write, and it's interesting where it doesn't have to be true.
Right.
But it has to seem true. It has to be plausible. It has to seem true.
Okay, you know what I mean? Right.
Because sometimes people do, because sometimes something in your life is actually true, but it sounds made up.
Right.
You know, and then sometimes you can, you know, so even things of, you know, I went to the dry cleaners or I did, you know, I will write down some things where it's like, and sometimes I'll see something and I go, you know what? I don't know what the joke is yet. But that there's something there that can be parodied. You know what I mean? So sometimes I'll jot those down on my phone. You know, before I used to have little slips of paper, all of them, you know.
All over. Oh, you don't have that still?
No, because I just put them on my phone.
Yeah. Now I have the iPad for that now. And I love this app where you can write. I'm so old school that I have to have. But you don't ever bring up a set list anyway.
Sometimes. Rarely do. Yeah. You know, I did it at Flapper in the Yoohoo Room a couple weeks ago because I was doing a bunch of new stuff. So I really did have to look at it, you know. But I try to, because to me, when you hear someone do a setup that you don't believe, the joke's not going to work.
Right.
You know what I mean?
So it has to be kind of how you feel about something.
Yes.
A genuine feeling.
It's got to be. And also the audience has to go, yeah, I can picture
that. I could
that.
See that.
Yes.
So if you wouldn't do a joke about combing your long locks of hair.
You know, you had to go there. I don't know. Yeah. But there are jokes. I always bring up the story, but there was this guy years ago who used to do this bit about buying condoms. And he was just this emaciated guy, you know, whatever guy. And the whole audience is like, what does this guy need a condom for?
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
But then he changed the beginning and said, I had to buy some condoms because my other condoms expired. And the audience was like, now
we can see
and
that.
And then the rest of the bit worked. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But just having that thing up. And I see so many times, you know, so many comics are like, oh, I was out with this hot woman the other day. And you're like, I'm not.
No, you weren't.
No, you weren't. Yeah. Never happened. Do you know what I mean? Yeah,
what's
absolutely.
What's his name?
Yeah. Absolutely. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and also, there are contrived premises that's like, nope, I'm not, you know. And if you don't believe the setup.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, for me, I have to be emotionally invested in the topic that I'm like the tattoo thing.
Right.
Because I think I thought of it from the online dating where I was scrolling and I'm like, so many people have tattoos. And I used to be on the boat where I didn't really like them. And now it's so common to have like sleeve tattoos.
Sure, sure, sure.
Like,
right. I mean, I would see a thing, what I would write down like face tattoo and go,
right.
There's got to be a funny joke about a face.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I'd love to get a face tattoo of like a really handsome guy. You
know? That's great.
But I mean, so sometimes you see the topic and you don't know
right.
what, but later on you go, okay.
Yeah.
That's when I sit down and go, okay, what have I got here?
So do you write down like three or five things about that one subject?
No, I would just write down face tattoo and then I'd sit and go, okay, what's the joke?
The thing?
Yeah.
What's the thing that makes it personal to me that'll make it unique to me?
And there's something I try to figure out a way to flip it and a way to satirize it as opposed to, I think I used to go to like a wordplay joke when I start, you know what I mean? And Conan hated those and he beat those out of me. So
smart man.
Then I learned, you know what I mean? So, but what I try to do now, especially that I don't have a job, I write in the morning before it's the first thing, before I have breakfast, before I do anything.
Before you have, really?
Yes. Okay, I pee.
Okay, he does pee, everybody.
I do pee.
Okay.
And then I sit down because you know what? My brain is fresh. When I was young, I would write late at night. Yeah. You know, I'd write at midnight for whatever, 2 a.m., you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, after you have kids and you get all, you just, everything changes. You know what I mean?
Right.
And now, like, I'd be so tired at night. I couldn't possibly, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But when my brain is fresh, that's what I like to do right in the first thing in the morning is.
And what's your goal? Do you write like five jokes?
I write five jokes. Yeah.
That's a good.
Because it's also a reasonable amount.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because sometimes people set goals that are just too. I had a friend who would work out for 3 hours a day for like 2 months. And then he wouldn't work out for like 4 years. And then he would do it again. It's like, no. Do you know what I mean? Like you're overdoing it and you get sick of it.
That sounds more like me. I'm more of an extremist.
But I think doing that, like five, you go, I can do five.
That's good.
And it's like, it might take me 20 minutes on a rough day. It might take me a half hour.
Right.
But it's a reasonable amount that I know I can do it every day.
Right. And are you trying those five out like as soon as you can?
No. You know, it's one of the things I'll do. I might tweet one of them.
Mm-hmm.
But I often do now is I'll send them to my sister, my younger sister. And I'll be like, what do you think of these? And
what do you think of these?
And I'll say anything. And she might say, you know what? I like number three. And then I'll tweet number three or whatever. But sometimes a tweet doesn't work on stage and vice versa. Yes.
Exactly.
I mean, that definitely happens. But I sent her like five funeral jokes the other day. And she's like, geez, like, what's your problem? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't know why. I just had that in my head, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and I might do a run on a certain topic too. Like, okay, I'm going to write five jokes about this, whatever.
Right.
But not necessarily, you know.
Right.
But I also, after I do that in the morning, during the day, I might say something that's like, oh, that's kind of funny. I could, you know what I mean?
Right.
And so I jot down a couple during the day so that when I start in the morning, I kind of have one or two already that I've been kind of percolating on that I can just give me a running start, I guess.
That's awesome. I think I tend to write on topics that something happened and I feel really strongly about it.
Right. So is it more stuff that's really did happen?
Yeah. A lot of times it's a feeling that I got and I'm figuring out how to cope with it. Like, you know that I have this chunk of material about my son. Mm-hmm. And I love my son tremendously, but he's been kind of a little prick lately, you know? I love him to death. And I think that all kids go through this phase of where they love their parents and you're the smartest thing ever.
Sure.
And you're an amazing, oh my gosh, I want
to
be.
I can't wait till my kids get to that stage.
Yeah, exactly. And then they leave that stage where they kind of know everything and you're not as smart as, you know, You don't know about me, Mom, and you don't know what you're talking about, kind of. And I think every kid goes through that stage, too. And so he got to that stage, and he got just a little bit arrogant, and it was hurting me. And I'm like, so how do I cope with this and say the things that I would never say to my kid's face, but get the feeling out there? Because I know I'm not the only parent
that
is dealing with the detachment thing that your kids do that's actually good for them.
It's the right thing. It's a part of development.
Yeah, but it was really just something that I was like, there's got to be stuff here. And he's also a rocket scientist, so I started talking about that on stage and the irony of me literally telling jokes, dick jokes for money, and he's going to put rockets in outer space. Like, that just
said, unbelievable.
How the hell did, you know, he get to that point.
They're both very phallic, though. So you know what I mean?
It's so true.
Yes. Yes.
I like that. All right. That's the beauty of it. And then once I started exploring it, the writing started coming out of the feelings that I had of like frustration or angst or like I'm hurt. And so the writing started there. And then that helps me sell the joke.
Right. But it's an interesting combination to me because the rest of us don't have kids who are rocket scientists. So you have that's such a unique thing. But so you have that, which is unique to you. But the feeling of your kid pulling away or rebelling or whatever is universal.
Yes,
do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
So it's a nice combination of the two things.
Right. Right. Exactly. Yeah. So And I think for me, like, my memory is not great at all. I almost always go up with a set list, even if it has the word dog on it. I just know I got to do the dog thing.
Sure,
or
sure.
I got to, if it's a new bit, I put the punchline or an abbreviated thing just to remind me, okay, don't forget to do this on stage, Lise. Which is the worst, because you're killing him. You're like, oh, I have to try that one joke.
Oh, sometimes you're like, well, what's that? What's that thing? You know what I mean?
Yeah, and you're going through your head. Yes. And see, I don't want to get on autopilot where you're just speaking the words, but in the back of your mind, you're trying to figure out what was that thing that I was going to say. It's driving me crazy.
Yes.
So to avoid that part, I will bring up a set list, but sometimes I don't even look at it and I still don't do the joke because I'm so in the moment with the crowd. I can't stop the roll. Like, I don't want to quit, you know?
Yes. To me, and comics feel differently about this. I'm curious how you've, if there's 400 people, and they're a hot crowd.
Yeah.
I don't like to do a new joke because I don't like to have the laugh go from here to here.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
No.
But if I go in, there's 50 people who are just chuckling, I'm like, okay.
I'm doing four new jokes. You know,
absolutely. Because it's like, the laugh's only going to go from here to here anyway. Do you know what I mean?
right.
There's that thing of when you have a new joke that gets absolutely, especially you're killing and you do a joke that gets nothing.
Yeah.
It's just like, you know what I mean? I hate that feeling.
But I think you're at the point of your career and you're a good enough writer where you're like, this is going to get something.
Yeah. You can tell the laugh that got a momentum laugh, but that didn't get a laugh on its own.
Right.
But it got enough to keep me going and it wasn't a disaster, but it was only okay.
Yeah.
But I could go to the next one and be fine, not have to address it.
You know what's so funny is, like, in normal life, I think my personality type is like your stage time, because I'm such a perfectionist. And I even the way I set up the room, the way I do my hair, like, I'm prepared. I have notes. But then when I get on stage, there's this part of me that seeks out. It's almost like jumping without a parachute, or with one, but you don't know if it's going to work, where you're just like, I'm going to try this out because I don't know if it's going to work.
Yes.
Here we go. And then the funnier part to me sometimes is it didn't work, but now I get to play with why it didn't work and bag on myself for not being able to write a joke. And then that becomes the thing that's so fun. It's like that anxiety of, will it get a laugh?
Oh, it's so exciting. I mean, when I first started, I would be bombing and I would do an ad lib that would get about bombing and get a laugh.
Yeah.
And then I'd do another show and the same thing. And then I'd come up with another. So then I got to the point where I've got all these, and then I'd be doing well and I'd be doing the ad libs about bombing, and the crowd's like, we're laughing, pal. Like,
no,
what's your problem with
you?
But I was so used to doing them that I was like, oh, I'm just conditioned to do my, I wasn't expecting laughs, and I'm used to doing my bombing jokes.
It was awesome. What we're going to actually do, since we shared our writing styles, is go ahead and take just weird, random news topics and just throw out jokes as they come in our head. And we'll put this up on the screen. If you're on YouTube, you'll be able to see that these are actual news stories. Okay, so the first one, Frisbee dog drops a deuce on a basketball court in Louisville, and the crowd goes wild. So that is the topic.
Well, here's the thing. I know it says drop a deuce, but I saw that poop, and that poop was worth at least 3 points.
Right, exactly. The dog dropped it at midcourt. I played basketball, and that's definitely a double dribble.
Nice. I think the Lakers have been taking a dump on the court.
Exactly. Top that, Rihanna. That is a halftime show. Okay, so these are actual news stories. The second news story, that this one I love. So this little girl asked police to run DNA test on Christmas cookie for evidence of Santa Claus. This little girl wrote to the police but sent in a baggie of a half-eaten cookie. I'm going to read her actual letter. Dear Cumberland Police Department, I took a sample of a cookie and carrots that I left for Santa and the reindeer on Christmas Eve, and was wondering if you could take a sample of DNA and see if Santa is real. That's what she wrote. Right. That's the letter.
I love it.
You know what comes to mind is this little girl that, I mean, she's what, 6 or 7 maybe by the handwriting. I'm like, there's never going to be a guy that wants to date you. I just plan on being single forever. I want the DNA of Santa. It's like your DNA sample joke.
Yeah, that's true. Oh my God. I love that. Well, here's the thing. What if they did 23andMe?
Yes. Right?
And they find out that Santa's Jewish. He's like, oh my gosh.
She's not going to get any toys.
I've been celebrating Christmas all these years. What if they discover Santa's fathered thousands of kids around the world?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And you're related to like, yes. Santa's like, your stepdad.
Yes. Although maybe it would be kind of cool having Santa as your real dad. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Or it could be even worse. What if they find out that Rudolph has? Because she did see the reindeer too, right?
Exactly. Yeah. You know what? The 23andMe bit I love, but you could even go further with that. Like, say you find out Santa's Latino.
Sure.
Sure. Because he's visiting kids all around the world.
Right. He's got a really cool ride.
Right. Exactly. Those aren't reindeer, they're llama. And that's why nobody knows who he is, because they never have license plates.
Oh, that's ingenious. Good thinking. All right. I like that.
Exactly. No license plates, no insurance on the sleigh. And the other thing is like, obviously, the parents helped her.
Right, right.
To take that letter, yes, or help her mail it to...
Well, also, why is a 6-year-old kid watching Forensic Files?
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Exactly. Yes. Like, yes. Her parents are like, everybody else, raise our kid.
Well, this kid is very savvy for... Yes.
Yeah, she's a 6-year-old Karen. How does that...
But that's such... Like, that detective work. Isn't that unbelievable?
I know. Yes. She's like, I need a sample. Parents can't even lie to a kid like that.
That kid's going to have tests.
The tooth fairy. She's pulling out teeth.
Oh my God.
Going, I know who this is. Like, not sleeping.
Her dad better hope that he's the real dad. You know what I mean?
The
mom better hope that it's the real dad. Yes.
Yeah. Now you're sorry you adopted her. Awesome. Okay, we're going to move on to another news story. Okay, this one is crazy. So I guess what happened is a mom brought her kid into the ER because her kid had swallowed part of a toy. And because she was so worried that the kid was going to have problems getting rid of the toy or getting it through its system, she insisted that the doctors cut the kid open to get the toy out. And the doctors were like, no, it's a tiny Lego head, which is maybe the size of your thumb. And it's just going to come out and they're, you know, in the bathroom. It's going to come out in 1 to 3 days is the average. But to prove it, because they had to talk this mom out of this delirium, right? To prove it, 6 doctors swallowed Lego heads for science and wrote a paper about it and how long it took for their body to get rid of it. And then I'm like, well, they're ER doctors. And of course it was all men. A freaking woman would never swallow. Well, okay.
Oh boy.
What?
All right.
Maybe. Only the ladies.
Oh boy.
Is he fine getting red? This is the part that I love.
Now they're adjusting the color on there. They're going, what's going wrong here?
I know. It's completely unbelievable.
Well, you know, the other thing is, it's like you think it's painful to step on a Lego.
I love that. Thank God it wasn't the square one. My shit's square, honey. What happened here? Thank God it wasn't Mr. Potato Head. They weren't.
Right. And for some reason.
Yeah.
And why did they have to pass it on a basketball court? Do you know what I mean? Taking it too far.
That's what you call it. Callback. That was a good one. Nice. That's like full circle. I think we should bail on that joke because it was just like perfect. These guys obviously got their license online.
I think they must have. I feel like they're pledging a fraternity or something.
That's, you know what exactly I mean?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, push out the Lego. I don't know. Gerbil was holding it at the end. Sorry, Richard.
That's
Gere.
Another call.
Is that?
Yeah. That's true.
Oh, the, oh my God. Nice.
This is insane, you guys. You got anything else on that?
No, I think Mr. Potato Head's hard to top that.
Yeah. So that is what we will leave this show on. So that's Writing 101 with Brian Kiley and myself. Thank you so much for coming
on. Sure,
that
was so fun.
Oh my gosh, such a great comedian. We're going to put links. Where can people find you, find your stuff?
Oh, you know what? They can actually, my website is back and running. So they can just go to briankiley.com.
It's back and running.
Yes, it took some time off during COVID. But it's back and running.
We weren't making any money to fix stuff. So, okay. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. That was Brian Kiley, the brilliant writer, and myself, Lisa Alvarado, on Find the Funny. We will see you in 2 weeks, you guys. New episodes every other Tuesday. We'll see you soon. Don't forget to subscribe.
I hope everybody listen to my daughter and see it and laughing on her because she is very funny.